morning. Today is Wednesday, August the 15th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor. It's August and we've got a supervisor in the building, Mike Wilson. Good morning, sir.
I've been around the whole time.
That's all right. Yeah. That's all right. You know,
it's a good time to be around.
I would think traveling incognito would be kind of fun. Yeah, I mean, you know, no ties, no suits, right. No button downs, that kind of stuff. Just kind of be, so to speak.
I've had to dress up a few times for some meetings. I mean, you know,
okay.
Other agencies' lives go on. And so, you know, for those of us who are sticking around, we still have to show up. It's good. It's fun.
Fair enough. So are you a horse wagering kind of guy?
I do sometimes put a few dollars down here on the horses. It just makes cheering for a horse more fun. Yeah. I am a terrible, I never win.
You're not a good handicapper.
No. Yeah. I
would probably vote on color.
I try a different strategy every time. That's how it looks, what my kid says, maybe, you know, what the person next to me thinks they know, and pretty much every strategy is terrible for me.
Flip a coin, and it still doesn't work, yeah.
It's fun. I just like being in the stands at the horse races.
Yeah, the culture.
It's fun.
Around it all.
Yeah, it's just good times. Yeah.
Our Why Do They Say That This Morning is back and fill. Why do we say an indecisive person is backing and filling? Any idea?
No.
Okay. The term refers to a method of tacking a sailing ship when the tide is in with the vessel and the wind is against it, in which the ship moves ahead slowly by fits and starts. The sails are allowed to fill with wind, and then the wind is spilled from them by hauling back on the stays.
I'm glad I didn't even guess.
Yeah, I didn't even think it was a nautical theme, but that's kind of fun. All right. So, what's keeping you busy these days? You know, it seems like there's been a little bit of attention and spotlight on the trail or where the trail footprint might be between Eureka and that halfway point in Arcata.
Right. They call it the Final Four, and that was our last meeting. And so it's the final 4 miles that's being built to connect Arcata to Eureka with the trail. And we had a meeting about basically approving the environmental review document and looking at all the environmental impacts. And so, as many people know, probably the most controversial part of that environmental review was basically the trail as proposed, and its route goes underneath some of the eucalyptus trees on the other side, you know,
under the railing
on the bay side of the highway, north of the former mill site. And so
the Arcata Redwood one, not the mill yard one.
Right, okay. Exactly. And so along that stretch, basically staff was asking the board to approve moving forward with the analysis that the trees pose a threat to the folks that would be using that trail, and also it's pretty expensive to clean up after what falls from eucalyptus trees.
Yeah, they're pretty dirty.
Yeah, I mean, they do have a lot more windfall than other species of trees do, and certainly Caltrans has been hassled by that for a long time, and they've been trimming their side, and it's still a problem. But in any case, so for what is 40% of the trees, which is basically those trees that are kind of the north of that mill site, those are the ones that...
So from the driveway pretty much out towards Indianola.
Right. Those are the ones that are in contention, I guess you'd say. And so what we did at that meeting was approve the document that approved the environmental review that says it's a less than significant impact if the trees are removed. That being said, we, you know, because they are, you know, they're an aesthetic thing that many people like, and I'm not against these trees necessarily, but
they were put in originally as a wind block, right?
Yeah, I think so. Back when people did that a long time ago, maybe it was like 1920, and in 1933 or thereabouts, they all died off from a freeze. So, and which could happen again, right?
Well, sure.
And so we said we approved the environmental review document, but that basically put sideboards on what could happen because there's still negotiation that needs to happen for the whole rest of the trail, and if the staff can.
Sideboards are like negotiating boundaries?
Well, yeah, it's like the boundaries of the environmental review. So you can't have any more impacts than what we've reviewed. So if less trees have to come out because maybe the trail's moved over 10 feet because we're able to put it on where the railroad tracks are, or maybe certain things are cut down, or we make an assessment based on an arborist's review that it's not as dangerous as we may think, or whatever those reasons are, we really have to evaluate the risk, then that can change. But
they don't have to bring it back to you then.
We don't have to bring it back for environmental review. And that environmental review basically allows staff to move forward with getting the funding and moving forward. So projects moving forward, there may be some adjustments coming back to us. So, and that's what we'll be taking a look at. So it's good.
I've not walked the rail line. I've ridden the rail line.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of built up out of the bay.
Yeah.
Up and then it comes down and then there's it comes back up again.
Inboard
to the,
ditch.
Is that okay? The phrase. Mm-hmm. So the trail itself, does it fill that?
Yeah, and that's part of the environmental review because there's wetland fill that has to be because the trail can't maybe be on the rail line because we're preserving these two pieces of metal in the ground for future.
Well, regardless,
posterity.
You don't want to have a ditch right there if people are riding the
right,
and
so
wipe out into it.
So for in sections, we'll have to be able to fill that in, which is part of the cost and part of the environmental review process. So when
how wide is it?
The trail itself?
No, the ditch.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's 15 feet wide or something.
Oh, it's that wide.
It's
I would say
big.
It was a little bit thinner than that. Okay.
So we'll be looking at options, or staff will be looking at options, and that's what we asked them to do is bring it back to us. And we're moving forward, though. I mean, in the next few years.
Is there a timeline on that?
We're hoping within 3 years it'll be complete.
And that also includes the slough bridge, or
yep.
the train slough bridge
mm-hmm.
is
yep.
part of this?
Yep. And then in the
is there an extension or
no, it's in the current design. You actually have these rubber flanges that go in where the tracks are so that it's flush and then people can ride their bikes or walk.
It's like a cap over it.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Mike Wilson. Mike, considering the trail segment that we were alluding to in the first segment, that kind of connects the Arcata part
yep.
and north
yep.
to Eureka through yep. Waterfront down towards the old dog pound, Herrick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At that point, are there plans to extend further or does it come out onto the highway and people just kind of draft behind the cars?
Well, right now, you know, like all these trail stuff, they're all in like segments, right? Because you just build them as you go. So the next segment going south from Eureka is, I think, from Eureka to King Salmon. So they're talking about getting across that slough bridge and then along the tracks there and then over to King Salmon. And then from King Salmon, the
so
next section.
So it would continue
is,
out towards the bay there.
Yep. And then then it's trying to get it to CR. So there's all these sections they're doing bit by bit. And Caltrans is working on a section between Glendale and Blue Lake right now. And so that's an exciting piece that people are looking at. And all of this
would that be along 299?
Yeah, because in a lot of these, what we call like rail trail or rail easement trails, whether you replace the rail or whether you go along it and whatever it is, a lot of times you really have to kind of weave in and out of that easement because things have changed and there's pinch points and as we see in Eureka too, so things kind of weave in and out of those easements, and that's a pretty common way of doing it. But for the Glendale to Blue Lake section, we're, I think, when I say we, I mean the community, is looking at, and Caltrans, I think, is the applicant, is going along 299 and then up into Glendale. So using the rail line for part of it and then cutting out where it's more difficult. So yeah, it's going to be great. And as we've talked about before, it's kind of a part of a larger vision, which could actually connect Humboldt County to Mendocino County to Sonoma County to Marin County.
Or Humboldt to Humboldt.
Even, yeah, and, you know,
concept your gaze.
Right. Even if we're Blue Lake to Fortuna, we would be really, this, that would be a treasure, a state treasure. And so the idea of actually doing what some people call the Great Redwood Trail, which is part of some legislation that's happening now to connect all the way down to Marin. I mean, even if we're successful to not getting through the Eel River Canyon, but getting to the ends of the Eel River Canyon on both sides, even that by itself would be amazing and totally worth the effort.
Does FEMA, random thought I just flashed, you
oh,
said
good
a word
at
those. Trigger. Yeah, thank you. Does FEMA replace bike trails with earthquakes and floods and things of that nature?
Well, I don't really know. I mean, in general, they do infrastructure things in terms of transportation. And in general, these are the cheapest or the least costly of your, you know, your connections, especially after they're built.
Sure.
I mean, maintaining and replacing a very small width trail is fairly easy to do. So I don't know what FEMA's policy is on that.
Because I would imagine in a lot of locations it's either adjacent to or part of a bridge,
right?
Or the highways and things like that that are also subject to FEMA funding,
right?
It would seem to I be think logical really, that they would connect.
It would really depend on their connectivity, because when you think about, like, if you actually have communities that are really attached by those two things, then yeah, it would be pretty important to have those connections. And that's why you see, like, the Arcata to Eureka sections kind of halfway done, and you see people using it, right? But if you really have connectivity to Eureka, you'll see the same kind of numbers you'll see that you already see on the Eureka Waterfront Trail, which people are using a lot. I mean, it's a very crowded and popular piece of infrastructure.
Does this tie into that?
Yes, ties into that. So basically, the way, you know, when this 4 miles is done, the way the coastal trail section is, you can go from basically Clam Beach all the way to the south end of Eureka. And if Eureka can get its section done to King Salmon, or yeah.
That's county though, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, Eureka and the county working together, then you're gonna see, you know, you can go from these two beaches, one to the other. And then if you can get to Blue Lake, which is another section, you can go from the river to the beach, you know, with families riding bikes or hiking or walking or basically connecting without having to get into a vehicle. And so we see this all over the United States.
It would seem to make sense, like out to CR, you know, for the student population.
Certainly, and it would be very popular.
Now, is it going to be wider in certain areas, or is it all kind of uniform width?
Generally, there's standards, and the standard right now is about 10 feet. So
mm-hmm. We'd never have the Davis syndrome.
What's the Davis syndrome?
25,000 bikes commuting to...
Oh.
They have over 25,000 in Davis, and most of them are involved with the school.
Right.
You get 10 or 15 wide.
Right.
At like 7:45, everybody's sprinting for their 8 o'clock class.
Well,
that
know.
Kind of stuff. So I didn't know if it was a flexible thing.
Could
or
be
not.
Worse.
Yeah. You could be in the lead and then suddenly on the ground.
Yep.
That would be worse.
Yeah. So in terms of this connectivity, there's Senate Bill 1029, which is Senator McGuire has been working on, which is this conversion from the North Coast Railroad Authority to basically splitting that asset in half. From Willett South would go to SMART, which is the Sonoma Marin Rapid Transit would take that over. And they are already, you know, trying to get to Cloverdale currently, but they would be under their authority to work out how that would all happen. And then
they primarily just transit buses now?
They're primarily a train that goes from Larkspur to, I'm going to say Santa Rosa now.
Okay.
And so there's actually a commuter train. So they're funded by a local proposition with some tax money to go all the way to Cloverdale. And so that's what they're working on.
So pretty much Sonoma County.
Very expensive, but they're getting there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yeah, commuter rails are in generally they're expensive pieces.
But cheaper than BART. Mile by mile.
Maybe.
Yeah, no tunnels involved. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Mike Wilson. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, American Ag, and Lolita Cheese. Mike, considering some of the different options that are out there now for infrastructure, there's been success with the airplanes.
Yep.
With the direct flight to L.A. and other locations. The highways are getting a lot of TLC, the bridges, things of that nature. Is there an overt attempt to beef up or fund or remodel, if you will, renovate infrastructure in our area? Or is it just happens to be one of those times when it's all kind of happening?
Well, it's all mostly repair of the things we have and upgrades. And we never have enough money. And certainly SB 1, the Senate Bill 1, which basically is the gas tax, which will be on the ballot for to be removed, is a real threat to that. I mean, certainly if people like their roads, and especially if we live in a rural area where it costs more per mile per person, you know, we're a big benefactor of that, certainly. I would say... the repeal of SB 1 would be a big problem for Humboldt County in terms of availability for funds for roads.
I'd never thought of the reimbursement of it. Is it per mile? how does that, or you know, whatever's generated in your jurisdiction is returned to the jurisdiction, or
well, it's most,
does it all go into a fund?
It goes into a fund, and then there's competitiveness to it. But in general, when funding these things. It does, population matters, but overall, the rural counties get more per mile, even though it's harder for, even though it still doesn't quite get what they need, you still get more, maybe not more per mile, excuse me, more per person than in the urban areas. And that's just because the need is so much greater. And even though you'll still be farther behind, you're still getting more, which I will have to say, It will be a lot less if we don't have this gas tax. I mean, and we can talk about other ways of funding roads for sure, but this is the one that we have now. To repeal it without a replacement methodology, a way to do that would be disastrous. So
there is no plan B, is there?
There isn't. Yeah, I mean, you know, and currently in the governor's race, it's probably, you know, it's one, I think it is the issue for the, and I don't even know the name of, but the Republican candidate for governor.
It's Cox and Newsom, right?
Cox, excuse me, that's right. That seems to be his thing that he's running on, you know, that's his main issue, or one of his main issues is the repeal of SB1. And I would caution people. I mean, it's nice to have, you know, if you want to be vote Republican or vote Democrat, that's one thing but I would caution people on the repeal part of SB1.
Because that's a standalone, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And what it means for Humboldt County and this community. So, yeah, certainly there are talks of of other infrastructures around here. You know, I think we've talked off air before about this east-west train thing, and I don't know. What do you know about that?
Meetings are continuing. I know there's supposed to be some information booths out at the county fairgrounds. As part of the fair.
Right.
You know, what information they have, I don't know. I'm curious, are we satisfied with the fiber optics that are into the county?
No.
Or is that another area of infrastructure,
yeah,
in addition to transportation, that needs to be beefed up also?
Well, we're working on that. I mean, again, agencies.
It's the royal we here.
The royal
we.
And so certainly connecting through, I think it's 299 these days, is trying to come through that direction. But also there's the Trans-Pacific connection that we're looking at as well. And that's a real possibility. So,
all of a sudden we have plenty then.
Then we would have enough in terms of the ability to generate enough flow that maybe we could have the centers that actually manage data. I mean, and another big one, and people.
You think we might be able to
Sure.
positioned for something like that?
Yeah, especially when we're talking about the new energy infrastructure that we're really getting into, and people should be really looking at right now. I think we're looking at 60 possible wind turbines up on Monument Ridge. That's huge. I mean, that's a lot of energy to be produced locally.
Does that augment the offshore stuff that we talked about
yeah.
a couple months ago?
Yeah.
Or so it's not a replacement, it's an addition to.
No, it'd be an addition to. And I think, with both of those, we would be generating from Humboldt County more than we need. And with the infrastructure for export would be our limiting factor then, for sure. But the onshore stuff is much easier to build, and the technology is much more well known. And certainly they're, importing those pieces. They have to come through Humboldt Bay, likely through to South Bay, so that they don't get pulled through underpasses and those sorts of things. So there's a lot of infrastructure upgrades that need to happen, including connectivity to the substation out on Highway 36. So there's a lot to be done with that, but it's big, real big.
And gaining momentum.
I think it's gaining momentum, but, there's always challenges.
Always challenges, man. Even just going to the grocery store tonight, I'm sure there's going to be a challenge between here and there. So, yeah, always challenges. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new non-stop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Mike Wilson. Mike, with the wind turbines, whether the onshore or the offshore, are those subject to any special funding? There was all that push for a period of time, and it was whether it was solar or wind or this or that, passive or non-passive. It was just kind of over into an area that a lot of us weren't paying attention to because we didn't hear that it would be applicable for our area.
Mm-hmm.
Might work somewhere else, dandy, great, but there's enough for us to consider as it is anyway. Are these, other than the generation and the employment associated with it,
mm-hmm.
are there other benefits also?
The generation and the employment. Well,
those are two biggies.
Right, those are the two big ones. Yeah. I can't think of there's, the replacement of fossil fuels, which is helpful for sure. And certainly us being more self-sustaining. So, if we're cut off or anything like that.
When we get the earthquake.
Whatever
big ones,
it is,
yeah.
You know, our infrastructure will be more localized and we'll be able to sustain ourselves better.
Who are the companies? Do you know off the top of your head?
I don't know the names off the top of my head, but certainly the offshore wind ones were the big ones. I mean, okay. they were the ones that the international. So some folks come from Europe and they come from the United States, you know, but big companies coming.
These guys know what they're doing and it's going to be an investment.
Yeah, these are huge. Yeah, exactly. And then, oh, there's the company for the TerraGen is the company looking for at the one on Monument Ridge. And yeah, I mean, and there was a comment from your engineer when we were off air here a second ago.
That's
about
great. You can use his name.
and it was about the about whether we'd see those ones on Monument Ridge, and yes, definitely. And you can look it up. I think they have a website for TerraGen, and you can look up and see those photographs of their doctored photos, of course, that show where you would see them. But if you're driving through Scotia, that's the ridge that you see to the south, and you would definitely see them. These are 500 to 600 feet tall.
Well, a little bit higher than what the tree line might be.
Yeah. Much, much higher. And I think you would see them also from Fern Bridge and stuff. So, but that's a trade-off and a thing worth discussing, that and environmental impacts related to species like the marble murrelet or whatever. And those are important discussions we have to have.
Now, I've seen them in Wyoming before.
Yeah.
Saw them being delivered too. It was really.
Yeah.
It felt like Star Wars. It was really, I mean, yeah, these big, long, white, cool mm-hmm. looking. That was kind of fun. And you'd see the farms, mm-hmm. you know, where there were a lot of, but there wasn't like a lot of noise. There wasn't a lot of distraction. There was still activity going on all around and underneath. And so it wasn't like an exclusive use in those areas.
Yep.
Is that part of the concern some folks who are
I think the main concern really is aesthetic. I mean, and I relate to that. And it has been for wind power generation all over the world. And some places have rejected it because of the looks of these things. And some people have embraced it for the same reasons, because maybe for them it means, like, you know, energy independence. It means clean energy.
Yeah, it represents something.
And certainly we do have some bird species and bat species to be concerned about, because these things do, when you think they're so, you know, they're 300 feet across, and when they're moving at those speeds and they're moving at hundreds of miles an hour at the tips, and they can be dangerous for flying things. But you have to balance that with the idea that climate change is happening. We need to do what we can to limit that and slow that down, and that the species that we're concerned about, climate change will impact them too, right? And so it's part of that balance.
Where do typically, not the local environmental community, but in general, where does the environmental community come down? Is this a net plus? Do they get excited about it? Is it a net negative? Are they neutral, or is it case by case? I mean, do you have any idea?
I can't speak for the environmental community as a thing, but in talking with folks who are, there's different opinions, I would say.
Okay. Yeah. So like anything else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by.
It was fun.
See you at the fair.
Yeah, I'm going to have fun at the fair.
And to everybody else too. See you tomorrow.